This is the Helping Up Podcast, all about addiction, recovery, and grace. I'm Kirk, the Spiritual Life Coordinator here at the Helping Up Mission. This is the story of Troy Hancock, interviewed by Pastor Gary. Troy has a very interesting story, one of a lot of hope. Troy realized that he had to heal in his mind, in his heart, and in his soul. I hope you enjoy his story. God bless.
Troy, thanks for doing this. So you Baltimore guy?
No.
Where are you from?
Philly.
What kind of family did you grow up in?
Mom, dad, sisters, brothers.
Where were you in the pecking order?
Second child.
Second child.
Second of four.
Did you go all the way through high school there?
Yes.
Yeah. I graduated from high school there. Did you do anything particular in high school? Music, sports?
No, not really. After high school, I went straight into the military.
So you joined the military. You joined the?
Army.
Army. What year was that?
1987.
87. So that's after the draft.
Oh, yeah, there was
nothing. The draft is long gone. We're not at war with Iraq yet. So you joined the military. Why?
Something to do.
All right. You didn't have any career aspirations at that point? Nothing special?
No. At that point, I actually wanted to make a career out of the military at that point when I first went in. And I stayed for 8 years, and I got bored with it. You know, I was doing the same thing day in, day out. You know, when my enlistment was up, I left.
So you joined it because you thought it might be a good career move?
Yeah.
Because you were young, you know, you didn't know, but you thought so. But it got way too repetitive for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you joined the Army. Where'd you do your basic?
Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay. And what was your MOS?
11 Bravo, straight line infantry.
Straight line infantry. When you left Fort Benning, where'd you go?
I actually stayed there. I did 4 years at Fort Bragg and then went back to Benning.
So what'd you do? What'd you do, your daily work assignments?
Oh, well, we just trained every day.
Just infantry training.
Infantry training every day. Yeah.
Now, see, I didn't really know, guys.
It's different for, like, the combat units. Their days mostly consist of either range training, physical training, or combat training, you know. You don't have, like, where you get up, go to a certain job or whatever.
Yeah, motor pool or something else.
Yeah, you don't do that, no. It's just constant combat training.
Did you want infantry?
Yeah.
That's what you wanted? And I can see where that repetitiveness really would get to you.
Yeah.
So you stayed right there between Bragg and Benning. So at what point did chemicals enter in?
When I got out, 96.
So not during your military training?
No. Military, I basically drank.
Before you went in, did you drink?
No.
No. So you started there.
Started
but really,
in the military.
It wasn't. It was just a... Like a lot of people, you have a couple beers or whatever,
and you just...
social drinking.
Yeah.
And so never really got into it. Anything else you want to say about your time in the military?
If I had to give a plug for those who are thinking about going in the military, I'd say do it. I'd say really do it. It's a great experience. It teaches you a lot of structure.
Yeah, yeah.
And it helps you to become a better person.
Yeah. I got you.
A lot of my friends at that time were starting to go down a path that I didn't want to go down. So,
which tended to be drugs?
Not using. They were into dealing.
Okay.
And stuff like that. Yeah. So it's not something I want to do. So
really, the military deal worked out very well for you.
Yes.
But because of your infantry role, you didn't really come out with a lot of great marketable skills. You had the soft skills of discipline and stuff.
Well, yeah, I didn't come out with a lot of marketable, like you said, marketable skills. I basically had to start from scratch. I got into working in a restaurant. I got a job as a busboy in a restaurant. And ever since then, it's just been cooking. It's became a passion for me. I learned as much as I could about it. Being in the military, they teach you to whatever situation you're in, pay attention to detail. Learn as much as you can about that situation. And that's it kind of rolled over into my civilian life. I found that this was something that I could see myself doing. I went busboy, dishwasher, server, expediter, than line cook. I had to teach myself how to cook, actually.
Interesting.
Living by myself.
Yeah.
You pretty much got to teach yourself how to cook, yeah. unless you want to eat out every day, and that's yeah. pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And I would also just watch the cooks behind the line, watch the chef, watch what they're doing, you know, and learn that way.
How long did you do a line cook there at Williamson's?
At Williamson's, 2 years.
2 years. At that point, had chemicals started in your life?
Yeah, pretty much. At that point, I was smoking weed.
Do you remember why you did it?
Not really.
Was it because other people were, or you just...
I actually left Williamson's because I had got an offer for a job in the casinos down in Atlantic City. And I started working at the Showboat Casino. I was offered a position as a restaurant manager there. You know, so talked to a lot of chefs, learned a lot of different techniques and stuff from the chefs that worked in the casino.
So then, after you got all that training and experience, and then, okay, how about chemicals at that point?
Well, I had to stop for a while, get my system clean, because you have to take a drug test in order to work. You have to pass a drug test to work in the casinos. About maybe a year or so into it, start smoking again, smoking weed again. You know, I never really stopped. I came back to... looked for another job in Lancaster. I actually left the casino on my own. Looked for another job in Lancaster, and I was hired at Five Guys as a general manager for one of their stores. It was a big change for me going from fine dining to fast food. Culture shock, basically. But I made out pretty good. I actually took one of their lower performing stores and turned it around. It's now one of their highest performing stores.
What did you do to...
I came in and I applied a lot of the training that I received in the military. I applied it to that job, how I trained the employees, how I ran the shift. I applied a lot of that to running the store. I taught the employees how to pay attention to detail, you know, and how to focus on the customer as well as the operations of the store.
Now, I can really see where your military training sets you up for that. That's what good for you. You know, I still don't know all the addiction part yet of your story, but you really made a lot of good decisions. So during Five Guys' time, did either the amount of weed I was smoking add up, or were we adding some other chemicals in at that point?
I had started smoking crack. I would smoke crack maybe every other weekend, but then I actually woke up. I felt it beginning to go down that road where this is going to become a problem. So I just stopped it, you know, left it alone for a couple of years. And then what actually got me back doing it, I lost my mother a couple of years ago. And at the time she passed, I was in a really bad space emotionally and mentally. I was kind of drained from the job. And I don't know, I picked up again.
Now you'd
got
stay
real heavy for about 6 months and...
You'd stayed close to your mom. Your dad's still alive at that point?
He's still alive, yes.
So, but losing her, she was real special.
Yeah, I was me and.
And so that was really hard.
I was really, really close to my mom. Yeah, she died in February of 2013.
And when did you leave the store?
I left then. It really affected me.
Yeah.
I tended to compartmentalize a lot of things. I look at life as though things happen, you got to deal with them. There's no sense in letting it get you down. There's always a way out of it. You just have to search for that way. So,
but at the point with the job, it had just gotten pretty heavy and you hadn't been able to shake it. And then when mom died, that just put you over the edge.
It threw me for a loop because it was sudden. You know, she died of cancer and no one knew. That none of the family knew that she had cancer. She was dealing with this.
You know? She knew, but she didn't tell anybody.
She knew, but she didn't tell anyone.
Even Dad?
And even Dad.
Wow.
You know, she didn't tell anyone. It threw me, you know.
What'd you do then?
I had a little money saved. I don't know. I withdrew for a while, for about 9 months. Stayed to myself, stayed away from everyone. You know, I had to deal with it on my terms, come to terms with it on my terms. The weed got stronger. I pretty much started smoking almost every day.
Okay.
You know, no job, nothing to do. That's when I really started getting high. I started on that wake up, you know, hey, what are you doing? You need to stop. you need to slow down, you need to stop, or whatever, you know, go get some help. October 2014, I came here.
How'd you know about this place?
I've actually been here before, stayed a little while, but this was way back before you guys had did all this renovations and stuff. When I came, they were still sleeping on the mats in the chapel. You came in through the back, gate, up the steps and into the chapel. Smiley was the cook.
Yep.
And Leroy McFadden ran the thrift store.
Isn't that interesting that you would say that? And so you'd come through here, and but not in a hotel. You'd stay here.
Yeah, I stayed here. Yeah, cheaper.
So it was like, I mean, you had money. You could have stayed in a hotel.
I could have stayed in the hotel.
How did you find this place?
I honestly don't know.
Isn't that funny?
I think I may have been walking by.
All right. So then when you decided I need to get some help, this is the place you thought of coming.
Because
you knew there was the spiritual recovery program beyond the overnights.
Right. My original plan was to do the program, complete the program, and go back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30 days in, I changed that plan. I decided, well, okay, I'm here. I'm going to complete this program, but I'm going to find something else to do while I'm here. If all I had to do was just choose what I wanted to go to school for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and since my passion is cooking, I decided, okay, well, let me just go ahead and get my degree. So by the time I hit Omega, I was already ready to go to school. You know, all I had to do was just wait until I was eligible.
Are you going to which school?
Stratford University.
Which is right across the street from us.
I will have an Associate of Arts degree in Culinary and Baking and Pastry Arts.
What'd you say, baking and pastry?
Baking and pastry. Doing baking and pastry is very, very detailed. You know, the slightest deviant from a recipe can make a cake turn out tremendously wrong, can make a muffin taste like crap. Got into the technical side of it, you know, I find that I like it. Well, my ultimate goal is to own my own restaurant.
Yes.
But that's going to take time and money. So to start out, I want to start either in a hotel or as a personal chef, you know. So.
But you have a sense of the kind of work that I'm going to be looking for and where I'd like to work. Just say a little bit about your recovery here. Have you taken the concept of recovery to another level being here? Did we give you some new tools to use for recovery being here?
I believe recovery is a state of mind. You have to believe it with all your mind, all your heart, that you don't want to do this anymore. And then you have to constantly tell yourself you don't want to do this, you know. And eventually it'll become habit. You'll do it unconsciously. Coming here has helped me to realize that. Coming here has helped me to do that, actually. During the 45-day blackout, you have absolutely nothing to do, you know, besides the classes. You kind of have time to think, have time to reflect on your life choices, to make some serious decisions in that time.
Yeah, you know? That's really what it's designed to help you, to force you to do, really.
Right.
Just say a little bit about your spiritual focus and interest and connections.
My spiritual focus, I have a great relationship with God. I pray every day. I actually pray quite a bit every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find myself just walking around, just, you know. My sense of right and wrong has came from reading the Bible. There was actually one time in my life where I didn't have a sense of right and wrong. Mm. You know, learning the Bible and reading the Bible, and it installs a sense of right and wrong in you. I'm not going to say I'm the most religious person or the most spiritual person, because I'm not.
Me either.
You know, I still struggle with things, you know, but I ask for help with those things.
Yep. And he shows up. And,
yes, he does.
Shows up.
His own way, in his own time.
Yeah. You know, we can't push that, can we?
Yeah, can't push that.
I've tried. All right, well, now, Sarah, and you saw some of her questions here, so let me just ask you a couple of these questions. As a vet, how have you found relationships with other vets here more difficult or easier, running into either the guys who are in the spiritual recovery program who are veterans, or even our VA guys? Do you find a camaraderie? What's that like?
There's a camaraderie, but it's not like a It's not like it's a group mentality, like a separate mentality. We're all here together. That's where the camaraderie comes in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, okay, well, we're vets. We don't have to deal with these. No, it's not like that.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, we're all here together. You know, hey, you were in the military. Yeah, I was too, you know. And then we continue on, but we also include everyone else. You know, even those that weren't in the military.
Yeah.
It's not
set aside. So then this is her question. How can families, communities, and the general public support vets when they're at home, when they return from deployment and or when they retire?
Families can support them emotionally and mentally. When you're deployed somewhere overseas, you know, you see a lot of different stuff. 80% of it is bad.
Yeah.
You know, and it affects you.
Yeah.
It affects you. You know, and when you come home, you need emotional support. You need mental support. You're going to look for that first and foremost. You're going to look for it from your family.
Yeah.
You know, communities can support them by helping them to adjust to society again, helping them to transition from the military way of thinking to the civilian way of thinking, helping them to find jobs, helping them to gain housing, you know, stuff like that.
Are there unique aspects of being a vet in regards to homelessness, substance abuse, or mental health that you think would be good for us at home to be aware of?
Unique aspects as far as substance abuse, I think for vets, there's a deep-rooted cause, you know, that has to be drawn out in order to deal with the substance abuse issue.
Mm-hmm.
As with any issue or any problem, you have to get to the root. And for vets, they tend not to want to relive or rehash, you know, the causes of those problems. But there needs to be a system in place or some type of way to draw that cause out in order to move on, in order to deal with other issues in their lives.
So while counseling might be very helpful, a lot of guys might not be open to counseling, so you need to understand that and be very supportive. And here Mike Rallo always says, sometimes counseling is just having a good conversation.
Right. He's got a point, you know. Sometimes counseling does involve just good conversation, you know. But
all of us can do our part. And how many other people who never were in the military also suffer from PTSD because of what they've been through? So we can all do that for each other. So we find those common points where we can connect and keep those, as you said, keep those conversations going.
Right.
Yeah. So is there anything that you'd like to say to those people who have supported Helping Up Mission over the years, or people, new people that are considering us? Anything you'd like to just end up with saying to them?
I want to say thank you. I want to say, you know, I appreciate everything that you guys have done, all the support that you give to Helping Up Mission, you know, and I thank you for it. I ask that you just continue to support us, continue to support the mission.
You knew the old mission, and you see what their
there's
support,
a big
the difference
change.
Their
Your
support
has really changed the mission.
Yeah,
it really has.
Well, so you thank them for their support, and we thank you for your service for your country.
Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. This has been really good.
Yeah.
Thank you.